for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday morning, February the 24th, 2001. This is the ladies' conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campground. Ruth Wilson, Colonel Wilson, Speed Wilson's wife, is the speaker of the morning.
Was praying we would come into such a state of worship because He inhabits His praises. And I've been praying for years to know the difference when praise turns into worship. And I think we reached there this morning. You know, I'm not a practiced speaker in the sense that I have had much experience, except the Lord is the one. And as we sang that last song, truly let the words of my mouth glorify Him. Let me say what He would have me say. Nothing more and nothing less. And give us ears to hear and eyes to see and also to remember. We are living in an awesome age. We're all aware of it. We're so expectant in our spirits. We know that we are a chosen generation.
Hallelujah.
Truly a chosen generation. You know, with Esther, Mordecai said, how do you know you weren't born for such a time as this? And I am firmly convinced in my heart that every one of you sitting here has been chosen by Almighty God to be here at this time for His purpose. The farther I go in my understanding, the more I realize that we are called and chosen in such a special way. Just as Jeremiah, that first book, the first chapter, he said, before you were in your mother's belly in her womb, I knew you and I ordained you to be a prophet. And you know, in Ephesians it said we're all ordained to good works. We are foreordained for us to walk in them. And you know, they talk about the Lamb's Book of Life. And I'm beginning to think that was written before we ever came. And it says to take our names out that they're already in. You know, in that first chapter of John, I think every one of us could quote it, in the beginning was the Word and so on, and what a blessed, blessed thing. But I was reading not long ago, and it hit my spirit. You know how many times have I read that? But then you say, how did I not see that when that rhema word comes? And you think, duh, how could I have passed that over all this time? But it says, in Him was life, and it was the light of man, and it lighted every man that cometh into the world. And the world would love darkness more than light. But to those that received Him, He gave them power to become the sons of God. Every man, you know, it says that Jesus was the last Adam and the second man. So we're in an entirely different dimension. And we must remember this.
That's right.
That old things truly passed away, and behold, all things are new. We are truly, truly blessed. And then it says He gave power to become the sons of God. Mm-hmm. And then it went on to say, and of His grace and truth came with Jesus Christ. And of His fullness of all we received, and grace for grace. Isn't that awesome? Of His fullness, and in Him is everything. And we have lived so far below what He has ordained for us to walk in. And I believe in this hour that He has called us to truly come up higher.
Amen.
To fulfill and believe all that He has done for us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. And we mustn't stop anywhere and get in the comfort zone. You know, it's so easy to be comfortable. Speed and I, at the age we are, we anticipate a change and a move. And then sometimes we think, oh, gee, it's so nice and comfy here. But we don't want to be like those in the wilderness where they wouldn't move on when the cloud moved and the pillar of fire moved. If they didn't move, he would go no faster than the least one who wanted to go. But you had to go when the trumpet sounded and it was time to move on. And I feel it's time to move on.
Yes.
I am believing that every one of you here have had so-called Pentecostal experience, that we have received the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. And what I want to talk about today, and you know, in a way it might sound condemnatory, but I don't want you to hear it that way. I want you to hear what the problems were that they had in the wilderness, in the Pentecostal experience, and think it not strange when these fiery trials come upon you, but they are to test you. I have all these scriptures written down, and I'm going to... But you know, in that Deuteronomy scripture 8, that he says, I gave, these were to try you and to test you and to see if you would be obedient and follow me. And then in Deuteronomy 8:18, he talks about that he's given us power to get wealth. Now, everybody goes hysterical when you say that. But the reason he gave it to you to get wealth was to bring forth his covenant. See, we've missed it. We have really missed so much. Because we look at all through the carnal eye instead of the way God says that we are seated with him in heavenly places. Now, he wants us to see everything through his vision, the way he has for us to see. But, you know, that is a hard thing to do because he said that we are indeed yet carnal. I know the first time I heard that, I thought, oh my, you know. And then I realized how absolutely true. But you know the most marvelous thing? With deliverance, and our dear sister Mildred will have this for us today, and I want all of you to enter in, because I recall so many things that I was delivered from, and at the time I thought, oh my goodness, was that in there? Then I thought, oh hallelujah, that really wasn't me, that was another force trying to use me. Mm-hmm. And then I came out rejoicing instead of being embarrassed. I thought, oh, your grace and your mercy is so awesome, Lord. So don't miss this opportunity for the breaking of curses and the deliverance, because that is what this place is all about. God ordained Glenn and Irma. And if you haven't heard their Arkansas story tape, you should get it. But he was, and Irma came here and bare ground, and they have built all this.
Yes.
And it was for us, so that we could come here today, over this weekend, seek his face, learn more, and go on.
Mm-hmm.
So this isn't at all what I was going to start to say, but praise God. I kept praying, Lord, I have all these notes, and I studied, and you know, and I had them all clear, and I was just going to follow them right down here. And I'm so glad that I don't have to do that, that he will bring me those things. I was praying this morning. I said, well, Lord, it's all in here. And I had it all systematized, which I thought this should come after that. But praise God, when that song was sung, his word and his spirit, and that he would have control. So, my dear husband's here, Steve.
Yeah.
And I want to share something here. When he was out, we've been married 55, soon 56 years. And when he was out in Japan in 58 and 59, he had an experience with the Lord. I mean, he had an experience with the Lord. He threw him out on the in the floor. Now, ladies, in the Navy Marine terms, in the bathrooms, they're called the head. Now, this happened to be a nice, clean one that was all nice and fresh and all. But he was baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Well, he wrote to me. I want to backtrack a second and say, I went forward when I was 8 to receive the Lord. And I wish I could say that I followed him, and I wish I could say I read the word, but that's not the case. And he went forward when he was 14. And so we both had that background. But he came home and wrote to me, bless his heart, tried to explain. And all I could hear was, well, doesn't he think I'm a Christian? Well, really, in the true sense of the word, I really wasn't, you know, but my hackles got up, you know, that type of thing. Anyhow, we do that, you know, every once in a while. But he was so changed. And he prayed for me for 10 years until I received the baptism. So it was so blessed when we came that we could walk together then. And the Lord has so anointed him in his teaching of bringing forth the prophetic word in the timetable that we're in, signs of the time and that. And he's spoken here and been a part of this. We were trying to remember. I guess it's been about 15 years or something along there.
We first got acquainted in Washington, D.C.
Oh, yes. It was, right.
It was our beginning.
Yes. It's been a long, blessed time. Let's put it that way. So he has, in these are his charts that he has made up for his talks. But he's going to show them because they're pertinent to what I also feel the Lord is having me say. When I started in 68 and received the baptism, I was immediately put in the Feast of Tabernacles and the Book of Ephesians. Well, you know, back in that day, not many people were talking about the Feast of Tabernacles. You say that and they look at you, that's very interesting, but it just went right over your head. So it's been a long, precious time in this area. But I feel by the Spirit that we are in such an awesome age, it's time for fulfilling of the Feast of Tabernacles. As a matter of fact, sometimes I think it's overdue, but according to God's, when the Pentecost is fully come and the Passover time, he's never early, but praise God by his grace and mercy, he's never late. But in this context, I feel we're at a day and hour. Yeah, get that first one, please, Steve. We are, I see, in the third day, one day is 1,000 years. Can you see that? Well, anyway, I'm going to talk and he'll put them up, all right? So this year of 2001, now there's controversy about those people that know how to count time and all of this, and I'm not into that, but, you know, they said that 2000 really wasn't the beginning of the millennium, but 2001 is the beginning of the millennium because of the year zero going from B.C. to A.D. and this technical. But I really believe this is the year of the beginning of the third day from Jesus, but it's the seventh day from creation. And seven is the fulfillment, and we know it's the time of rest. So we're in an awesome day. They're coming together. Then on top of that, we were listening to CBN the other morning, and they were talking about Azusa Street. And they said it was exactly 100 years now for Azusa Street. I thought, my, that's all three of them together. I had such a sense, we did, that the Lord was really speaking to us, that indeed we should anticipate and expect and look for change in ourselves and in the world. He's calling us, I feel, as a body to earnest prayer and supplication for our nation, for our leaders, for those in authority in a new way, in a new dimension, with new understanding that old things really are passing away, that we are entering a new era, and that we should pray earnestly for those in authority, for our president, for keeping him in health and protecting him. Because we are in a time, if we are in what we see, God's timing, then we can earnestly know that our enemy of our soul knows it's that time too. And he's going to pull out all the stops. And that we should be earnestly alert spiritually and don't let anything pass us by. That we are in that time that we need to listen carefully and obey. I had gone forward to be prayed for one time for this dear brother, for gifts. And I asked for discerning of spirits. And our children said, oh, Mom, why did you do that? And I said, well, for me, this is a time of the grave. Jesus said in 24 of Matthew, see that no man deceive you. And we're in the time of great deception. And realize that if something is a deception, it looks so close to the truth, or it wouldn't be a deception. And unless you really know the truth, you will be deceived. So it behooves us to stay alert. Stay in the Spirit. Don't, you know, that Joel's army, it said, don't look to the right hand or the left. And he's raising up an army today. It's a spiritual army. You know, they said the violent take it, this is the kingdom and the violent take it by force. Well, so many people have got into the carnal with that. That means that we are to believe what God says. Now, our dear sister last night gave us such a wonderful teaching on believing what the Word says. And this is our warfare is not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And that is what, you know, what is that, 2 Corinthians 10:4 in that area. And one day I was studying and reading, and I heard this, read it in a book. It said the kingdom, let me see, the tree of the knowledge and good and evil and the tree of life are mutually exclusive. And it exploded in my understanding. And I could see where, as a body, we were feeding from the tree of knowledge of good and evil without recognizing it.
Amen.
Because the tree had good, but that was man's idea of what was good. That's where religion comes in. And we can't accept that any longer. We have to know and feed from that tree of life. And what was it then in Corinthians, that 2 Corinthians 10 portion? It said, casting down all imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity. And that is when you, what I'm, right now I'm dealing with something in the physical. And so I can either accept the little quirks and things I feel physically, or I can say, by his stripes I'm healed. There is a decision we are having to make today.
Yes.
Are we going to go by the carnal?
That's right.
Tree of knowledge of good and evil, or the tree of life? Now, in that second chapter of the book of Revelation, you know, that church of Ephesus, he said, you've left your first love. And I was reading that one day, and I thought, oh, really, our first love, we were with him in spirit back then. So our first love would have been that realm of the spirit. We were with him, you know. So when we came into this dimension, we got caught up into things of self. So we left the first love. But also there's a point here that I really want to make, that he so quickened me, that we are a kingdom of priests. We are all priests before him. You know, in the tabernacle of David, everybody went before him. There was no veil there anymore. In Jesus, that veil was rent. But that prefigured Jesus, but it was a type of what Jesus was going to do. So we all can come and worship him in majesty and in truth, you know. So there is, and then he said, the Nicolaitans, the reason I brought all that is to say this. Remember that he said there, I hate that deed in that Ephesus church. He didn't want them to restructure a laity and a church and a priesthood. He didn't want them to do that because we all can come boldly before him. We don't have to have any other intercessor except Jesus the Christ. And he said, I hate this. And then by the time it gave, was it Smyrna? I've forgotten which church it was. It had become a doctrine. And he wants to do away with that. Totally. And to recognize that we are all kings and priests in front of him and through. So I just wanted to bring that out. The emphasis on knowing. See, that's where we have to come and really know the Word. Because if we don't know the Word, how can we offset what this is coming against us constantly? We have to stand and know the Word. So, as I say, I'm not on my notes. As Steve has the next one up here, the third day and the seventh day are the same day as we were discussing here. And that is such an awesome reality of the seventh day from Adam and Jesus. That's the rest. That's the Sabbath rest that he keeps talking about. And the third day are the same day. When I was reading and studying in Hebrews 4, I was really, I guess, hurt my spirit in a way. I don't know how else to put it. But when the Father said, I was that evil heart of unbelief that they had in the wilderness. All the things I showed them, all the things I gave them. And they had an evil heart of unbelief. He said, they don't know my ways. And he said, they were going to die in the wilderness. And that, then he went on the first few verses of Hebrews 4 to say, faith was not mixed with the word. They didn't believe. And because of that, they died in the wilderness. Then he goes on in that fourth chapter of Hebrews to say, but there remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. If Joshua had given them rest, there would be no need. But there is a day of rest and for the people of God. And I believe we're entering that day of rest in for the people of God. That he has ordained this. It is ordained. It is his work. It is his timing. It's not man's work. It's not man's timing. But it's all his time. And so we, I feel, are, as I said earlier, so privileged to be. He brought us forth at this time. That is the thing I want to impress on you, that is impressing my spirit. I am so beginning. I wish I could say I've come here, but I'm just nebulously beginning to realize the steps of a man are ordered by the Lord. It's already written in Hebrews 5, I think. In the volume of the book, it is written of me, I came to do thy will, O God. So that is for each one. The things ordained from the foundations of the world. The good works he has for each one of us to do. And the important thing is, if we don't do it, he'll have to raise up somebody else to do it. And in that, when I realized, as I said so strongly, that he was so grieved when he showed them all the things, and here they were, complaining, murmuring, and all of this. And in, is it 1 Corinthians, yes, 10? I think it's 1 Corinthians 10, about 13th, 14th verse. And he said, all these things were written for us upon whom the end of the ages are come. You know, that it isn't happenstance that those things, we should learn from them. So when I was seeing that, and then, of course, it goes on in that fourth chapter of that dividing of soul and spirit, that the word divides the soul and spirit. And then it says we can come now boldly before the throne because that curtain is rent and that we don't need to hang back anymore. We have access to it. And in Hebrews it talks about that veil that was his flesh. That, you know, he was on the Mount of Transfiguration and he shone. So in him was all this glory. So when that veil of flesh was rent, that glory could be manifested, you see. And that's what he's calling for us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, Paul's talked about that. He says, I labor again until Christ be formed in you. Remember? And we have to recognize that it's like a child. You're born again. You go through the stages, you know. And in that Hebrews... last few verses of Hebrews 5, Paul wrote Hebrews. I think most people do, but whoever wrote it, but I think Paul did. But anyhow, in there he started talking about the Melchizedek order. And he says, I have much to tell you about this. But he said, you can't hear this now because you're babes and have only the milk of the word, you know. He said, I can't tell you these things. He said, when you should be teaching, he said, you still have need that someone will teach you. And then he goes on and he said, the first principles and doctrines of Christ. And those are awesome. Those Hebrews 6, 1, 2, and 3 are really, he said, faith, repentance from dead works. Well, that's when I saw the repentance from dead works was when people were doing things under the tree of knowledge and good and evil. It just was dead works. Amen. And he said, you have to repent from the dead works. Then he says about faith toward God. Well, then we come into, you know, faith there. Well, I'm going to come back to that in a minute. But anyway, faith toward God, then baptism. And Steve pointed something out to me one day. We, of course, all know the baptism water. And the baptism of Holy Spirit and of fire. But then he pointed out to me one day, and it was so significant, that in 1 Corinthians 12:13, it said, the Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body. And I thought, my, that is something. Do we have to become more submitted for the Holy Spirit to baptize into your body? Because the reality is, you cannot have a body with different parts going different directions, mm-hmm. or you'd say they were ill or very upset. So there has to be a subordination to the lordship, to the headship of Christ,
Amen.
Before you can be in the body. Now, you know, that sounds exclusivism, but it's not. You make choices.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, in Ephesians, it talks about the body. And, of course, until you come to one perfect man. Well, see, there's one baptism, one faith, one God, one perfect man. And one day I was, if you wonder why I'm doing this jiggling thing, several years ago I had trouble with blood clots. And if I sit too long and don't move my legs after a while, I start to have a little difficulty. So that's why I'm wiggling up here. It's much better, but every once in a while, if I've been seated too long or we traveled and so forth, it sort of bothers me again. But I was reading in there, and it talks about every part being important and every joint supplieth. And I remember that old spiritual, you know, the knee bone is connected to the thigh bone, and that. And I thought, hey, there's something in there. And if every joint is so important, because if you didn't have joints, you couldn't move around, right? So then I thought, you know, that old one tries to put all stuff on us. We are the healed, and he's trying to make us sick. So if we can see it from that perspective, this isn't condemnation. This is, Speed and I were talking one day, and we both had a bit of this trouble, so we're not casting aspersions on anyone else. I said, do you suppose that's the reason so many people have arthritis? Because it settles in our joints, and it's just an onslaught against us to try to keep us from this mobility that the movement of that he wants of every joint supplieth. Because it's so important. You know, some while ago, I was, as I told you, I asked for the spirit of discernment. Well, the first thing he showed me was, I thought, oh boy, I'm going to see all these things and be, you know. Well, praise God for his mercy and grace. The first thing he showed me was, if you are that James scripture, a doer, a hearer, not a doer only, you deceive your own self. Well, guess who? I saw that by his grace he'd shown me. But you know, there's a big chasm between walking it out and really staying in the spirit with it from hearing it. And I was, you know, in that Mark 11:23, when he said about those faith we all know that move mountains and so and believe. But there's three times you say and you say and you say versus the belief. And when I was praying about in the middle of the night, about a month or so ago, coming here, I heard the word. I said, well, Lord, what would you have me? They always want a title, you know, of what you're going to say. And I heard ought against any and purpose. And I thought, oh, yeah. When you stand praying, forgive if you have ought against any. And he was so quickening me that for this dimension of time, we have to walk in forgiveness. So I wanted to go back to that six Hebrews for just a minute, because he said baptisms, laying on of hands, and you know it says don't lay hands on quickly, but discern, and just don't let anybody lay hands on you. I don't mean that as condemnation, just a reality. And then it talks about eternal judgment and resurrection. And then it says, those are kindergarten things. Now, how many times have you thought about those doctrines and principles as milk ministry? I was really shocked when I heard and realized the enormity of what was being said there. That is milk-babe ministry. And all those things, you don't sometimes even hear them taught, let alone expressed that the necessity of walking in them or believing in them, let alone realizing that, I'm getting feedback, I think, that it was a milk ministry. And then it goes on and said, but let us go on unto perfection, if God permit. And I'm seeing so much of this emphasis, if God permit. Because if you are not equipped for this army, for this job that's ahead of us, by His grace and mercy, He's not going to have you out there being point man.
That's right.
So it behooves us to get grounded and founded. And then, you know, the threes always, it seems the Lord has things in threes, you know, milk, bread, and meat. And then in that June 6th chapter, He talks about being the bread of life sent down, and that if you eat this bread, you know, you'll never hunger or thirst again. And then, of course, strong meat belongs to those that are mature. And so I feel that He's calling us. Yes, when we were at one place, milk was fine. And bread was fine. You don't give a baby steak. You give him milk. And then you give him pablum, and then you give him bread soaked in milk, and you know. So it's the same principle that we have to grow up in Him, into who is the head, who is Christ, unto the perfect man, unto the unity. And that's what He's calling us to now, that we have to walk in unity. Yeah, just put that up for a minute. For speed, he was going to sit up here about 2 minutes and then go back. he's putting up this threes for you. I showed this when I was here before, just to give you an idea of what I was talking about. Because, and especially I want to talk about the outer court, the holy place, and the holy of holies. The outer gate and the door and the inner veil. And there you go. And we have at home several pages of the threes. In Revelation it says we're called, you know, and then chosen. Now that is really something when you think from the called come the chosen and then the faithful. And so I'm going to leave that up there for a minute. I want to talk just a minute about faithfulness. You know, the so-called faith message, what a misunderstood message that is. Because it's faith in the Word of God. Not that you should go off and say, well, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that and expect God to honor it. He honors His Word.
That's right.
So, you see, people have heard what was given in the Spirit and received it in the soul and was going to work it out in the flesh, and it doesn't work that way. And that's why it's gotten a bad rap. But it's God's ordained way of doing things. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so, Speed and I were discussing this one day, and I was raised a Lutheran when we were married, and we joined the Episcopal Church together. But as a Lutheran, of course, you can imagine, I had some background in Martin Luther. So, he was the one, the just shall live by faith. He had seen all these things, the people crawling on their knees at St. Peter's in Rome, and they were going to get something because they were going to work out their own salvation. You can't do that. That's what religion is. I can do something. Not that God, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, has done it all. We are convinced that, well, certainly we can do a little bit to help him out. Well, that's not true. That absolutely is not true. Because it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. And you can't. But when the day comes that you rest in Him and know that He's working in you and through you for you to be a witness, to be His epistle, it might be the only epistle some people ever hear or see or read. And He's calling us to do that. But I wanted to go back to Luther on this. And he said, he tacked those 95 theses on this door. But it's so significant, God's timing. He did it on the eve of All Saints' Day. And that is the day today we have Halloween. So guess what God was doing right in the face of Satan. And they say now the biggest decorated, the biggest holiday is Halloween. But our God, that was in 1517. And it was the beginning, as we call, the Reformation. And there it is, the just shall live by faith. He stood up there and it died of worms. He said, unless you can show me, I can do no other. I have to stand on this word. And I read about him one time, and they said that there were hardly no Bibles available in that day. And he found one tucked away somewhere. And that's when he read it. And, you know, the thing is, during that period of the Dark Ages of the Church, as well as the Dark Ages that we call, historically speaking, but there was the Inquisition. We've all heard of that. Then there was a group called the Waldensians, but they still had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They had to hide in the woods as animals. They were hunted down like almost like deer. To show you how far we've come, but let's not slack off. Because in the world today, we just heard over the radio, I think our CBN the other day, because they give us this information, that Indonesia, that there is a group of Muslims there who have declared jihad, and they've gone in with his scimitars purposely looking for Christians to kill them. And they said, if the sword doesn't work, we're going to get rifles. So, dear ones, and in the Sudan, I'm sure all of you are aware that the Christians are being sold into slavery, and they are taking the children and forcibly to make them turn to Islam. So, you know, it's not over yet. We have to be alert and pray and seek his face in all things. But in this faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, that is the basis. That's where we've missed it. And it's this, well, since I didn't get the Cadillac, it doesn't work, you know. Well, God didn't promise a Cadillac. In Psalm 37, he says, I'll give you the desires of your heart. Hallelujah. He's given me a desire to know him, to follow him, to worship him, to glorify him, to not stop. Now, those are the desires of his heart, our hearts that he gives us. And you see, we've missed it. We put it into the natural. But see, if you live in the carnal dimension, that's what you're going to do. In 1 Corinthians, you know, that first chapter, it says you come behind in no gifts. And then in the third chapter, first, the second, third verses, he says, but you are yet carnal. I can only give you milk. I thought, he comes behind in no gifts, you're carnal, I can only give you milk, I can't teach you anything. But if you go on into that Corinthians, it is really quite awesome. Because there is the one where you're going to judge, the saints is going to judge everybody, and then you go into chapter 11, that's where the wonderful discourse Paul gives on the communion, in that if you judge yourself, you'll not be judged, and many are asleep because they don't discern the body. And then, of course, wonderful chapter 12, there's the gifts and all this wonderful thing, and then 13 is the love chapter, and then there's 14 is that I would that you prophesy, and then 15 is that chapter on the resurrection of the dead and overcoming the last enemy, death. And I thought, that's carnal teaching. I thought, well, hallelujah, if that's all in the carnal realm, what do we have facing us to learn? Isn't that awesome? I thought, my goodness sakes. And it just opened my eyes a little bit. I thought, gee whiz, that's really awesome. Because that's all basic teaching. You see, and I just thought that was absolutely wonderful. So, and then that one in there also, I was very quickened to. You know, at seven was it? Seven? Anyway, you know, when we talk about sins, generally speaking, we think sins of the flesh, in the sense of fornication and adultery, are greater. Well, you know, I read in there, and they are. I often thought, well, why do we always get upset and bent out of shape about these? But it says in there, and maybe I should read this one, because this might. But it says, every other sin is outside of the body. But it said that one. I'm sorry. As you know, Steve, this wasn't the way my notes were supposed to go.
It's better.
Well, I prayed, Lord, you know what you had me put down in notes. So now let them all come in the order and the sequence and the way you want them to come out. But it's in chapter 6. And there it says, let's start at 15. Chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make him the members of the harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Mm-hmm. And I've read that before. But, you know, we had heard quite a long discussion on AIDS and how it was transferred. And right before we came, our Charisma magazine came, and on the cover it showed the devastation of Africa because of the AIDS. And I realized there was a great, well, it says it, you sin against your whole body. But what I wanted to say is when they were discussing about this, they were saying that you went to bed with somebody, you went to bed with everybody they had ever gone to bed with. And I had never heard that or thought that or knew that before. But they said that that is true. So isn't it awesome then, when you think about this in the context of what, when I was going through this, and I really saw the dimension of what they are facing and what the world is facing. And you know, back in the 60s, they took prayer out of school. They had free love. They had Woodstock, you know. And we can go back and trace a lot of what's wrong with our nation from that time. And they don't let the Ten Commandments be on the school walls anymore because maybe the kids will see them and they might believe them. They might try to act on them. That's actually what somebody said. It seems incomprehensible to us, but, you know, that's what they actually said, that they might believe it and try to walk in it. So I had just realized just recently the enormity of why I had sort of before that thought, well, oh, maybe they're just picking on people with sexual sins, you know. They're no different or greater or worse than anybody, any other sin, because sin is sin. But then I read that and I realized there was a truth here, because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we said last night, and I say it now, we're waiting for a habitation, a visitation of habitation of Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then, you know, in Ephesians, that I think it's the fourth chapter, the last verse. Well, in the fourth chapter, it talks about being strengthened with might in the inner man by the Holy Spirit. Then it says rooted and grounded in love of Christ. And then it says in the width, the length, the breadth, the depth and height, and all of the fullness of God which will dwell in us bodily. And God says he's going to come in and dwell in us.
Yes.
But we have to be holy. You know, in that Romans 12, 7, the last verse of Romans 11 says, everything is from God, through God, to God. And then Romans 12, 1 said, therefore, by the mercies of God. The therefore is dependent on the from God, through God, to God. By the mercies of God, give your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, and be renewed by the, what is it, the transformed by the renewing of your mind. So there it goes back to the mind again, that ye might know the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And see, there's one of those threes again. He lets us have the good will and the acceptable will, but there comes the time of his perfect will. And then in 12, it goes on to say, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. And then it goes on to say, each man has been given the measure of faith. So it is a progressive thing. And I didn't want anybody to think of condemnation about being in Pentecost. It seems as though when I was studying this, I thought, gee, I hadn't realized there was that much kind of negative actions and works in Pentecost that we were in the wilderness. But it says that he wasn't pleased with them, you know, because they kept murmuring and complaining. And as our dear sister said last night, it was Joshua and Caleb that went into the land.
Amen.
Because they believed the word that he is able, you know, we are well able to go up and take the land.
Yes.
And even though we are like grasshoppers in their sight, with God all things are truly possible. So they just, you see, I started, when I first heard that years ago, I started saying, I'm going to be like Joshua and Caleb. I'm going to go in with that generation. Because technically speaking, with our age, you can't say. But see, I have come to the conviction that the last enemy to be overcome is death. He did not make us to die. As a matter of fact, the doctors can't figure out why we die. Because we keep renewing, the body keeps renewing itself. And in that, what is it, 1 Corinthians 15, it says, we shall be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, that great resurrection chapter. And then it says, the last enemy is going to overcome is death. Now, I don't think the Lord had Paul put that in to fill space. I believe that's exactly what he means. He did not give us life to have it destroyed.
Amen.
It was his life he breathed into us, into Adam.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Hebrew and in the Greek, words have gender, as you all know that. So in the Hebrew, it was ruach and nefesh. In the Greek, it was pneuma and psyche. So the ruach and the pneuma are the spirit. They're the masculine gender. And then the other is the female gender. But the thing is, he told us that we were going to rule and reign and have dominion.
Hallelujah.
And it says in Isaiah, I think 55, that his word shall not return to him void, but it shall accomplish that for which he has sent it.
Yeah.
And I believe that he sent that word, and it's going to be manifest. Now, it's not all will believe that. When I first started talking about tabernacles, then when I started talking about never die, you can imagine the eyebrows. But that is what God says. We either believe him or we don't believe him. The time has come to believe what he says. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Our faith isn't based on externals. It's based on the word of God. And that's where I said earlier, people miss it. Well, they got a Cadillac or they got an airplane. One time years ago, Speed knew Ken Copeland. And he said, Speed, what are people saying about me? And so Speed said, well, they only hear what you have now. They didn't hear that you believed for a pair of socks or you believed to have the next meal. They just believed that, well, I'm going to go get an airplane. You know, it's progressive.
That's right.
You know, you don't get the differential equations from 1 plus 1 is 2. There's a little process in there.
Yes.
And that's what he's quickening us to realize and be open to. And when something difficult comes ahead, we heard John Hagee, we call him BBJ, Big Bad John, and we say that with affection. I believe me, we say that with affection. But he was talking about promises, problems, and provisions. And he said, every time you have a promise, in between the promise and the provision, you're going to have a problem. And we can say amen. But the thing is, it was a blessing to me when I heard him say that generally the problem was based on something in you that needed to become out. And he let the problem come up so that you could see it. And if we can see it as joy when we get into promise, count it all joy when you fought with these trials, that your faith, you know, patience and be perfect and to all good. So if we can see that as the problem is God's permission will for us to see what's in there. You know, we all know this scripture in 1 Chronicles 7:14. We can all say it and we say it and we say it. And then the Lord broke it down for me. First, if you will humble yourselves and pray.
That's right.
That's the beginning. I see so much in His Word that He gives a progressive analysis and steps of your Word. So the first thing is humble yourself and pray. Because last night our dear sister said, pride, you know, cometh before a fall. He hates pride. He said that. And you can see why. Because if you're prideful, you think, oh, gee, like a little two-year-old, don't help me, I can do it on my own, you know. We should be childlike, but not childish, you know. But then he talks about humbling yourself and praying. So for a long time, I kept praying about true humility, true meekness, and not this false put upon, I am so humble. I'm sorry, but it just troubles my spirit so badly when I see this. I've gotten to the point I walk away because I don't want to be judgmental, but my spirit gets grieved. False humility. But then the next thing was prayer, and I thought, well, gee, I don't know whether I really know how to pray or not. And there's all kinds of prayer, you know, intercession and prayer for healing and all. And we just don't throw it out blank and splatter like a gunshot wound and expect to necessarily, but in His grace He does answer us. We all know that. But then the third one is to seek His face. And I realized, I didn't know Him the way I wanted to know Him. Because there has to be more.
Yes. Yes.
You know, everything comes from love. As He said, you can speak a sounding brass, a tinkling cymbal. You can have all faith, all mysteries, all knowledge. But without love, it's nothing. But in there, He says, you don't be puffed up. You know, we all are familiar with it. But then He says, you shall know Him face to face, and you shall know as He is, you shall know as you are known. And that's my heart cry, to seek His face and know. And then that last verse of that 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians is faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these are love. And we were talking about faith, and it says faith worketh by love. When you come down to it, everything works by love. It's the core. God so loved the world that He gave. And His very nature is giving, and He wants us to be nature of giving. I heard dear Jesse Duplantis talking one night, and he was talking about giving. And he said, we should work to not make a living, but work to make a giving. And I thought, well, you know what that really is, to give out of the heart. That's God's heart, is a heart of giving, of giving, and of giving.
Yes.
Praise You, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Speed, put that on about the tabernacle, would you please? Yeah, please. Don't tell me it's not there. It has to be. You gave it to me. I don't have it in here. Okay. Well, can you get it so that I can get the first, the outer court place? I want to talk to you about, this is where I thought I was going to start. about dimensions, there's several things I want to talk. I had the privilege of teaching this in the late 70s one time. And everything about the tabernacle, it takes up about 50 chapters in the Old Testament, the tabernacle and then the offerings and the garments of the priest and the sprinkling of blood. And it's just an awesome, awesome teaching. And, of course, anybody that... It's all about our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ.
Yes.
Everything.
Yes.
Everything. Yes. So it's type, to talk about types and shadows. There are really types and shadows here. So, but what I want to say, it was that the outer court perimeter was 100 cubits long and 50 cubits wide. So if you add them all up, it's 300. But it's 5 cubits, the curtain is 5 cubits high. So 5 times the 300 is 1,500. Which is the age of law. See, Moses got the law in Mount Sinai just about that time. And by the way, may I digress a moment here? I've done that all morning. So, I want to tell you, I did this last year tell you about this, but I want to tell you again. There were two men that got into that area in Mount Sinai several years ago. You probably are aware of it. I first read the first book, the first person by... The True Mount Sinai by Larry Williams. And then there was another book came out, The Gold of Exodus. It was a journalist wrote the story of Williams, and I can't think of the other man's name right now. But it is an awesome, awesome book. And the true Mount Sinai is in Arabia. Just like the word says, what they did was study the word. This other man had been with Irwin at Mount Ararat looking for the ark, and he studied the word. And he just, it said, so many days drive and walk. Talking about contemporary thought. Anyway, it's just awesome. And they found the true Sinai. It's actually burnt on the top of the mountains. You can see the pictures. And they found this bull inscribed pictograph. And they found the 12 pillars around, so that it says, don't come up near the mountain. And they found the base of what the altar that Moses made. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome that the Lord would have them? So it's really, if you want to read something better than Indiana Jones, read that. It is just so, you just sit there and you think, oh Lord, you are so awesome. I keep saying, for those people that have to see, he's giving them a show and tell in this day. So back here now. The 1,500 square cubits is the age of the law. And then the tabernacle, of course, is that whole enclosed area, as you well know. But when you go through, that is called the door. But when you go through the gate, that is the outer court. Let me go back to that. Would you speak, please? I'm sorry. The outer court. See, that is 5 cubits high, that wall around there, curtain. But it was 20 cubits wide. So you had 100 square cubits. But then also, I want to point something out I think is so significant, understanding of how the Lord works in and through us. In that outer court, of course, they killed the animals so the blood was shed. And they put it on the altar so it was fire. And then there is that laver there that was made out of the women's looking glasses. So you can look into the water of the word and you can see reflected. And also, the priests couldn't go in and out of the holy place or the holy of holies without washing, going in and coming out. That is so significant. Always the water of the word. Always, always. Based on the word of God. He was, Jesus was the word made flesh. Never forget that. Never, never forget that this word is the word made flesh. And it's just not printed paper. So, but what I wanted to say, that when you go through then, after you wash there, you go through the door right there. Now that dimension is 10 by 20 cubits plus 10 cubits high. So you multiply that, now you have 2,000. And remember we started talking about 2,000 years? And that we have completed the 2,000 years. We're in the beginning of the... Then the next one is the Holy of Holies, and only the high priest went in there. And that was once a year at the Day of Atonement. And you know the story. He had bells and pomegranates on the bottom of his garment, and they tied a rope on his leg in case the offering wasn't acceptable unto God. If he died, they could pull him out. Well, that's 10 by 10 by 10, so that's 1,000. So in the Holy of Holies, which is what we consider the Pentecostal realm, which we are in, there was the lampstand, and the priest went in there, and they say that was of beaten gold. It was of one piece, and they beat it to get that. So think it not strange if there was a few little ashes here and there. And then the priest went in and cleaned the wick, you know, and there was the table of showbread. Now, the light of the Holy Spirit shone on this word, and that's it, like we were singing there. Holy Spirit, shine the light on the word. And that's what we're asking. And then there was the altar of incense. And they took a coal from the outer court altar, and they took it in there, and they put this particularly made incense on it. And that's where they said the prayers. Now that's where Zechariah was giving his prayers in his course, when the angel Gabriel appeared up to him. And he was struck dead, eaten. But struck without being able to speak until John was born. So everything has a type and shadow arranged about the Lord Jesus. But then you go into the Holy of Holies, and there was no light but the Holy presence of the living God, the Shekinah glory. And he dwelt between the cherubim on above the mercy seat. And we were listening to somebody the other day, and they said the way that it was constructed with the gold over the wood, acacia wood, that it was a gave off an energy field of about 1,000 volts of electricity.
It was a capacitor.
Yes, Steve said it was a capacitor. I didn't remember that terminology. But it said that that's why there was an energy field around it all the time. But as we know then, in that was the inside of the ark was the rod that budded with Aaron when it showed that he was cut off, but it still budded the resurrection. And then the bowl of manna, and of course the stone tablets of the law. But to this day, there are those that, of course, we must remember that at the time of Jesus, at the Herod's temple, they did not have the ark, because the ark had come to rest in Solomon's temple, and they actually took out the staves because they never anticipated having to carry it again. But the story is, from what we understand, is Jeremiah hid that ark. Now, there are some that say they have found it. I haven't heard.
I doubt that.
Well, that's, you know, I leave that with the Lord. If he wants it found, he'll, you know. But the thing is,
I think it went to heaven.
Yeah, praise God. But the whatever Jeremiah, the Lord had him do, I'm sure he did. Whatever Jeremiah had to do, that I'm sure he did. But, so when they went in at the time of Jesus, there was only a rock in there, but Jesus is the rock. So they poured the oil and the blood on the rock. When we were in Israel, on the mount of the Dome of the Rock, there's a little kiosk over in the corner, and there is, it's over a rock. And that's what many people know. The man we were with was, he was a Pentecostal minister. He knew Greek and Hebrew and Egyptian. He was an archaeologist in Israel. And he said that's where many feel that was the spot right there, the Holy of Holies. So, who, you know, unless the Lord comes to you and supernaturally says that is it, there's no way for them. But they have said that there, the way that Dome of the Rock is located on the Temple Mount, there would still be room for them to build a temple there. So, no, I don't think I want to say anything more about that. Thank you. So, now I said all of that, and I talked about the Pentecost time. Now, I want to talk a little bit about Tabernacles itself. Because I have come to believe that all of these things about Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles is just to prepare us, to bring us back to the place we were before the fall. Amen. So that we can go on, and that great day of the feast, remember when Jesus stood up and he said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living waters? And that was the eighth day, it was called the great day, and it's the new beginnings. So personally, I feel all of this through Pentecost, through this, is to bring us back to where we should have been before the fall, so that we can fulfill the purposes of God, what he had ordained from the foundations of the earth. That is what, if you see, that's why I say don't stop anywhere. Just go on and go on and go on. Don't stop. Don't get comfortable. Don't say it's too hard, because he said he'd never leave us nor forsake us.
Hallelujah.
And it says there in that, 1 Corinthians 10, I think around 13, 14. He said, you have no temptations come to you but what is common to man. In other words, you are not unique. In that sense, every one of us is totally unique creature in God's sight. But we're not unique in the sense that we're not going to have trials and tribulations, but count it all joy. If we can just have a flip-flop, and count it all joy. You know, you can say, okay, Lord, what am I supposed to learn in this one? You know? I heard a teaching years and years ago, I mean, it really was about 30 years ago, This dear brother, and he was talking about all the ites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the ites, the ites, the ites. And he said every one of those names have a characteristic of man that you have to overcome. I remember the, I wish I could tell you what they were. I have a list of that at home, but right now I didn't think of bringing that. But the one that I do remember is the one that anybody would trample over anybody to get to the top. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the characteristics of men. Now, remember back in those early days, Father said, I can't take them all out at once. I have to take them out little by little. Because if I didn't, the thorns and everything would overwhelm you. Mm-hmm. So you realize that I get disturbed in my spirit and I know something's wrong. And I'll pray, I say, Lord, is it time for another ite to go? You know, because when my spirit starts getting troubled, I know there's something not right. And I want it to be made right.
Yes.
And I don't want to carry that around with me, whether it's a result of the curse, whether it's a demonic spirit, whether it's an oppression. You know, some say you can't have one. Well, something was troubling me that I got rid of. And believe me, I was very thankful to get rid of it, you know. So, but I want to go into this little bit here of tabernacles. I do want to look at my notes a little for this. You know, we were talking about the word and how that parable the Lord Jesus gave about the sower sowing the word. And I think it's so appropriate now for it to bring forth that, you know, when you heard it and you didn't understand it, Satan came immediately and took it away from you. And then you heard it and it fell on without much soil, without much root. And then when you were offended, you lost it. And John Bevere has an excellent book called The Bait of Satan. Mm-hmm. And that's offended. If you get offended easily, that he'll do anything he can to offend you.
That's right.
So that you'll get your eyes off. And then the third one was, it was sown among thorns, wasn't it? And then it said, the cares of this world and the deceitful of riches and the lust of other things smother it out so that it can't bear fruit. Mm-hmm. But the other one, the last one, it fell on good ground and it bore fruit. 30, 60, and 100-fold. There's another one of those threes. And in the Feast of Tabernacles, it's a feast of harvest. God is looking for fruit today.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Pentecost was a gift realm. And we don't do away with the gifts. We don't do away with 1 + 1 = 2 when we go to algebra or calculus. You know, it's still basic. We're not doing away with anything. We're just adding two. So it's so important to recognize. And that I heard Derek Prince say one time. He said that little green apple on the tree is exactly the way it's supposed to be for how old it is. Mm-hmm. He said, but now it's not going to stay that way. It's to grow and ripen and become full fruit.
Amen.
But it was to give us reality that where we were was okay as long as we were moving on and not stagnating.
Right.
And so don't get condemned, well, gee whiz, this or that. Just bloom where you're planted, he's been telling me.
Mm-hmm.
Live to the fullest where you are now.
Yes.
Because unless he can trust you, he can't move you on. And this thing of prosperity, I firmly believe we are in the hour when those he can trust, he's going to give the monies that he says is stored up for the righteous. And that he's going to give it to those who he knows he can trust that can bring forth the covenant in the ministry. So don't ever get in the idea that, well, if they got that money, I bet they're going to blow it on something. They wouldn't get it unless the Lord knew that they were trustworthy.
Right.
And let's rejoice. Let's just rejoice for what our brothers and sisters receive. And my dear sister last night talked about not having jealousy and envy.
Right.
You know, that day's over.
Amen.
And we're coming into the fullness of the Spirit.
Amen.
He wants us to be one in him.
Yes.
You know that John 17 is such an awesome chapter of the Scriptures. That we might be one as he is one. Us and them and that. Oh, it just goes on and on. Every time I read that, I think that is so utterly awesome to think that we could be a joint heir with Jesus. That we be true sons of God. And whole creation is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. And as first few verses in Romans 8 says, of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is overcome the law of sin and death. It has no more control over those who are in Christ Jesus. There is a new law, and it's the law of love. It's the law of giving, sowing, and reaping. We are truly in a new dimension. He's bringing us back from all that we've lost.
Amen.
We were made in His image and in His likeness.
Yes.
And He wants us to manifest that.
Yes.
Bring it forth. But here now, the unity. One of the first things is unity. And I see so much of the emphasis. He is so troubled and tired of divisions.
Yeah.
And we can't, you know... And He's tired of mixture. We can't mix the holy with the unholy. In the priest's garments, they didn't mix. You know, they didn't mix them. They had all wool or all. You know, they didn't mix. And He doesn't want us to have mixture of the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They don't mix. We have to know in our hearts to feed from this tree of life. And He's given us to feed of that tree of life, and the tree's fruit is love.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And that's the beginning of all.
Yes.
And then joy. You know, I think is it Romans 14, the kingdom of God is righteous peace and joy in the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And the kingdom of God is within you.
Yes.
And He's wanting that kingdom to be so built in you,
yes,
that He can rule and reign through you.
Yes.
And these people that think they're going to go out and take the world this way and take the world this way, in the natural, they've missed it.
Yes, that's right.
You know, it's not by might nor by power, but by My Spirit, saith the Lord. And that's the only way it's going to work.
Uh-huh.
And that's why it behooves us. Not that, contemplate your navel. But the thing is, you have to believe the indwelling Christ.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And believe who He says you are. And act on it. Be a doer of the word and not,
yeah,
a hearer only.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, you're going to deceive your own self. And then James, he says, the devils believe too. So if you just believe and don't do, what is anything different?
Mm-hmm.
So he's calling us to be doers of the word. And that joy scripture, when Jesus was baptized, baptized in the Holy Spirit, but when the dove came down and when John baptized Him, and you know, this is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. I was so shocked the first time I read that and saw that the Holy Spirit led Him into the wilderness to be tested of the devil. So it's the Holy Spirit that's testing us to see where will we stand. And you know what He said, man shall not live but bread alone and all. But He answered every time, it is written, it is written, it is written. And that's the only way we're going to overcome is by it is written, it is written, it is written. And then when He came out in the power of the Spirit, and one of them says, the devil left Him for a season. But He came out in the power of the Spirit, and that's when He stood up in the synagogue and He preached, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And that we all know that. And then He sat down, and then they wanted to throw Him over the cliff. They weren't too happy with Him saying that. So don't think people are going to be just joyously, hysterically happy when you start to progress in things of the Spirit.
Right.
I shared this years ago, when I was here one other time, but it comes to my thought to share it again. When Steve was over in Vietnam, that would have been 69 or 70, I was home ironing one day, and you know, when you're doing a no-brainer work, sometimes the Lord can reach you in a way that He can't reach you some other time, you know. So I was ironing, and all of a sudden the thought came to me, well, it was the Lord speaking to me, just like, and He gave a denominational name, which I will not give. He just said, it's just though those that are born again or saved say the Pentecostals are heretics. He said, just so shall the charismatics and Pentecostals say when I start doing My third work.
That's right.
And I thought, I kind of argued. I said, oh, Lord, but those people have the Spirit. But they stopped. They made a denomination.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't going on. And He gave me three examples of that when David brought the ark back and they danced before the ark and they worshipped and the majesty and isn't that also? He said this in Acts. It says they will. He will bring back the tabernacle of David again in the last days. So that's all of us can get go up to the ark, and there's no curtains there anymore. We just can go there and praise and worship. And as he said, he's calling for those to worship him in spirit and in truth. And I've often wondered, when does praise turn into worship? That's what I've been praying about. But anyway, there were three examples he gave, and they were all in the female gender. One was when Michael saw David, she despised him in her heart because, oh, you're out there exposing yourself and dancing in front of all these people. And it said that she never bore children. She didn't bear fruit. And then the other one was, he took me back into, I'm going to have to walk around here a little. He took me back into, they came back to build the wall out of the captivity. You know, Cyrus, the story, they came back and they built the wall and they had swords in one hand and they were building it right where they were, each person. But they had, when Ezra stood up to read the word, and they wept because of what was not in their lives. So, and then Nehemiah, it was the time of tabernacles, by the way, when he stood up. And Nehemiah said, don't weep. This is the time for joy. And the strength, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And he gave portions for everybody at that time. But also at that time, they had to get rid of their strange wives that they had picked up in Babylon. So that was another one he gave me. Then another one he gave me, I'm going long, aren't I? Oh, well, I'll see in a minute. The other one he gave me was those strange women in the Proverbs, you know, when come unto me, my bed is so forth and so forth, and we'll have a good time. But those were the three things he gave me, that being drawn away from him into a soulish realm, because as we know, the soul is the emotions, will, and our mind. And the thing is, he's working on the salvation of our souls right now, the restoration and salvation of our souls. And in Peter it says, come to the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So know that this is what I believe, that when the soul is saved and it's married back with the spirit, that is the marriage of the Lamb. That is the marriage. Then the body will have this whole thing to follow after. It won't be divided. You know, the lusting after the flesh and the flesh after spirit. It will be whole again. And that's what he's calling us to. Now, and then another one is to enter the rest, as we talked about, the rest. That this is the time for the rest, the seventh, the Sabbath rest. And then, of course, is the glory. There is, in Hebrews, it talks about if there's going to be a new priesthood, which Jesus was a priest after the order of Melchizedek, then there will be a new covenant. And then he says, the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And he shall write his laws and statutes and commandments in our hearts and in our minds. And you won't need to say, know him, for all shall know him. And that's what we're called to. And there's the better testament in Hebrews, the better covenant, the better this, the better that, better, better, better. That's why I often think, why do people think that the Lord doesn't want his children to have what they need? Like that dear sister that you gave her that word last night. I was blessed to hear this word that you received. That was a blessing. And I just rejoiced for you. And I thought you must be a worship leader the way you praised and worshiped. That you were a blessing to me and I was a blessing hearing for you last night. That was precious in his sight. And then he comes to the time of restoration. And he comes to the restoration of all things.
Amen.
And it says the heavens shall retain him in Acts until the restitution of all things. But he's coming back again. But I believe there is going to be a manifestation of the sons of God.
Yes.
That the glory shall so full. I heard a tape of a dear brother. We were listening coming down, as a matter of fact. And he said about 15 years ago, I thought, oh, what a precious thing. The manifestation of the glory of God came within him. He said, and I cannot tell you the difference of how I see everything.
Hallelujah.
and how I walk and everything. So that's held out before us. And that's our heart's cry. As Paul said, I said earlier, until Christ be formed in you. And he says, the life I now live in the faith, you know, I live by the faith of the Son of God who gave himself for me. And then also, and it's the feast of his appearing, but I want to say, too, don't hang on to things in your life that the Lord is through with for you. Years ago, I heard the word schlepping, and I thought, schlepping? I didn't know what that word meant. And then I realized that was a Yiddish word that meant you hung on to all sorts of things that you were supposed to leave go. And I realized that I was. Unfortunately, in those days, I was a negative person. I wish I could say that I was a very positive person. Speed is a very positive person. But by his grace and mercy, I'm getting there. I'm getting there. And I rejoice in it. Because, you know, we can't get bitter. We have to get better. As I said earlier, if we can just see everything that comes and say, okay, Lord, right away, what am I to learn in this? And this isn't of you, then I refuse to receive it in Jesus' name, and I put it under the blood of Jesus. Just refuse to receive it in Jesus' name. Years ago, I had an experience that my head was just binding, and he had me go down to a bookstore and get a book. It was The Latent Power of the Soul by Watchman Nee. And in there was I thought, well, Lord, when I went down there, I didn't know what I was going after. I just walked up and down the aisles until I saw that book, and I knew that was the one. And when I went home, I read this particular portion. Of course, it's full of everything, but the particular portion was for me for that time, that people were praying for this particular minister because they had been to some kind of a meeting that some kind of a doctrine had been advocated, and they wanted him to receive that doctrine, and he did not feel it was of the Lord, so he refused to receive it. So they were praying for him. And they were praying soulish prayers against him, and he was hemorrhaging. And the Lord said, rebuke that in the name of Jesus and the power of his shed blood. Never forget the blood of Jesus. For they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life unto the death. And as we heard somebody say the other day, if you did not have a test, how could you have a money? How could you have a testimony? We thought that was very good. Yeah. But know that don't ever forget the blood of Jesus. But anyhow, when I read that, I knew that was what the Lord was having me get the book for. And I rebuked that. We were in a circumstance that people were praying, quote, for me, against me. And the minute I said, in the name of Jesus and the power of his shed blood, that lifted just like that. Hallelujah. It was like a binding on my head, as though somebody were screwing it down, you know. So, remember, there is a latent power of the soul. Because Adam named all the animals, and so there's a powerful soul realm. And Lord doesn't want to kill it. He just wants us to use it for his purpose, to bring forth his glory in this new beginning age that is beyond tabernacles. So don't get to the premise of, oh, he wants to kill my soul. No, he wants to bring it under his, your mind, your emotions, your will, under control of the Holy Spirit. So it's just, but don't stop anywhere. I can't say that enough. And here, this is a Speed has used this scripture over and over, and it's such a blessing. I want to share it. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 4. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And faithful is he that has called you, who will also do it. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He is just so awesome. And it's just, you know, the glory, I believe is the next, myself, I believe it's the next stage, you know, of habitation of the glory, of the manifesting of the sons of God, I guess is what you would say. And then I'm going to read John 7:37-39. The last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. Spoke of the Spirit. Then, you know that scriptures in Ezekiel where he says, the water shall flow out from under there, ankle deep and then knee deep, and then waters to swim in. And he said that wherever those waters went, it brought life.
Hallelujah.
So wherever those, you see, he wants us, the love of God in us, he wants us to be vessels that flow out through us. And as it flows through us, it will heal us, purify ourselves, but it will flow out for the purification of the nations and for people. And then it'll flow back to us, and it'll be as from him, through him, to him, are all things. If you throw a pebble in a pool, it'll have these, you know, they'll grow out from the center. But when it ends, hits the side of the pool, it comes back to you. So if you send out the love, it'll come back to you. And it'll just grow and grow and grow. And that's what he's calling us to, just to grow and grow and grow. And to, I think I better stop. But anyway, remember, don't be deceived, because this is the time of deception. Jesus, in that 24th chapter of Matthew, he said, many shall say, I am Christ, but don't go out. They're not anointed. Don't be deceived. He said, they shall do this in my name, and they'll do that in my name. But he said, and that Matthew 7, he said, but I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. Be gone from me. So there is a realm there, but it's not to be feared, but it's just to be alert and recognize that it is there and that he wants us to be aware of it there. And so I say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. How we praise you, your majesty. We worship his majesty, his glory, and his wonder. He is all in all. And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. That is such an awesome reality. God bless you. Thank you for your patience. I didn't realize I was going so long, but it just kept coming.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.